Here's the difference when it comes to pure lust, pure sexuality. A man will pretend to love a woman to get sex. That's what Amnon did with Tamar. A woman, on the other hand, she will exchange sex to be loved and not realizing the end of it. And the end of it is disastrous for any kind of healthy relationship because God has created us sexual beings, but He's given us a place to express that. And the expression of the physical is in the confines of marriage.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Hearts begin to worship. We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in 2 Samuel chapters 13 and 14.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
And notice verse 12, it says, but she answered him, no, my brother, do not violate me, for such a thing is not done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. As for me, where could I get rid of my reproach? And as for you, you will be like one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. However, he would not listen to her, since he was stronger than she. He violated her and lay with her. She's trying to reason with him. Ask our father and he will give me to you as wife. He's not going for that. He doesn't want to go that route. You see, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 14:30, passion is as rottenness to the bones. Lust, passion, that which is within. If it's uncensored, uncontrolled, it's like rottenness. It's rotten within a person. It rottens the personality. It rottens the character. It decays. It corrupts. It putrefies. That's what it did to Amnon. He thought nothing of raping his sister. You think, what an evil thing. Hey, times haven't changed. You read the news? I almost can't read the news. You know, I think, you know, I'm hoping justice will come. I know the Lord's going to come, but I'm just thinking in a society, a just society, it should come. But you see, stuff like that happens today because there's a rottenness in our society and we kick God out. You know, we can't pray, we can't have a Bible, and yet we can do every evil thing and incorporate it into our school system, into our society, and it almost doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you can see on TV and what you can hear and some of the lyrics of these rap songs and what they're teaching in school, Pono Choices, and, you know, they'll advocate that. They're sexualizing the kids and stuff. Is it any wonder? You know, when you kick God out of society, that's what happens. And he goes on here in verse 15, it says, then Amnon, notice this is important, hated her with a very great hatred, for the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, get out, go away. Let me pause right there before we go on and, you know, see the rest of this. But passion, lust, it's not just something that is generated within a person. There's something that goes with that. It's not just, ooh, satisfy yourself, then you go on your way. No, there's a thing called conquering, especially in the male. With that passion, with that lust, it's not only gratifying that, but it's conquering that. And that's what Amnon did. He conquered. He conquered Tamar. And when it does conquer, when that lust, when that sexual appetite is gratified, then it has no use for that thing that it conquered. You see, that's just the human nature. That's just the sin that goes along with that. When the sexual desire is met, like it is here in Amnon, that object of the desire is no longer needed. And that's why he's saying, get out of here. He hated her with a greater hatred than he loved her. There's something very interesting about, you know, sexuality and attraction and love and marriage and that kind of thing. Men are typically sight-oriented. So they might see a girl that's beautiful and they're attracted that way, sight. A woman is more in the emotions, where she wants to be understood and wants to be heard and know that that man cares for her. And there's kind of a more of a nurturing in a woman. But here's the difference. When it comes to pure lust, pure sexuality, a man will pretend to love a woman to get sex. That's what Amnon did with Tamar. A woman, on the other hand, she will exchange sex to be loved and not realizing the end of it. And the end of it is disastrous for both. It's disastrous for any kind of healthy relationship because God has created us sexual beings, but He's given us a place to express that. And the expression of that, of the physical, is in the confines of marriage. That's what He's given. And so when somebody goes outside of that, they're playing with fire, really. And it brings a lot of heartache, a lot of pain. It hurts a lot of people that are involved. And so here we see, notice, and then what happens here. But she said to him, no, because this wrong, Tamar saying to him, this wrong in sending me away is greater than the other that you have done to me. Yet he would not listen to her. Then he called his young men who attended him and said, now throw this woman out of my presence and lock the door behind her. Now she had a long sleeve garment for in this manner the virgin daughters of the king dressed themselves in robes. Then his attendant took her out and locked the door behind her. Now the long garment, you might have in your side margin a very colored tunic or a garment that would display the woman as the king's daughter, long sleeves. It means she's a virgin. She's available to be married. But Tamar put ashes on her head and tore her long sleeve garment. She was defiled, tore the garment which was on her, and she put her hand on her head and went away crying aloud as she went. And Absalom, now he sees his sister. He knows. He puts two and two together. Then Absalom, her brother, said to her, has Amnon, your brother, been with you? But now keep silent, my sister. He is your brother. Do not take this matter to heart. So Tamar remained and was desolate in her brother Absalom's house. He's not just winking at this, overlooking this. Not whatsoever. Not at all. And you see this as we get into the next chapter. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 34 and 35, jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not accept any ransom, nor will he be content, though you give him many gifts. That's why you can see a lot of spurn lovers commit murder of those that were, you know, they were spurned by, because that jealousy enrages a man. Now, what you're seeing here is Absalom was jealous. He was jealous for his sister, for his sister's honor. He loved her. It's probably like he looked out for as a big brother. He saw that she was violated, her virginity was violated, her dignity destroyed in the community. They would all know she was going to be a woman that would never get married. No man would want her in that community. That was a very important thing. And so Absalom will not let go, as Proverbs said, of the vengeance. And we see it as we go on. Verse 21, it says, "Now the king, King David, heard of all these matters, and he was very angry." But notice this, he was angry, but he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. That's why you can't use David as a model father. Yes, a man after God's own heart, but certainly not a model father. "But Absalom did not speak to Amnon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had violated his sister Tamar. Now it came about after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shears in Baal Hazor, which is near Ephraim, and Absalom invited all the king's sons. And Absalom came to the king and said, 'Behold now, your servant has sheep shears. Please let the king and his servants go with your servant.' And the king said to Absalom, 'No, my son, we should not go, lest we be a burden to you.' Although he urged him, he would not go, but blessed him. Then Absalom said, 'If not, please let my brother Amnon go with us.' And the king said, 'Why should he go with you?' But when Absalom urged him, he let Amnon and all the king's sons go with him." Again, David doesn't have a clue. Wait a minute, one of David's sons raped the sister of Absalom, and he doesn't have any idea. He insists that Amnon go. And again, David, his spiritual sensitivities, his discernment is not all it should be. It's not all it was. You see, it's just a ruse. It's just a plot that Absalom is plotting. Now he says, all the brothers are invited. And David said, "Oh, we don't want to be a burden, but well, let the brothers go and let Amnon go too." Why Amnon? Well, the rest of the brothers are going, so, you know, I don't want to leave him out. Let him go too. You see, David did nothing. He did absolutely nothing. He didn't correct his son, Amnon. He didn't do anything. And raping a woman, violating her like that, the sentence was stoning, was death according to the law. But David, you know, David didn't do a thing. He didn't do a thing. So Absalom, he's going to take matters into his own hands, because his dad didn't lift a finger to do anything about it. And then in verse 28, "And Absalom commanded his servants, saying, 'See now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, when I say to you, strike Amnon, then put him to death. And do not fear. Have not I myself commanded you? Be courageous and be valiant.' And the servants of Absalom did to Amnon just as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and each mounted his mule and fled." Again, you have to look at the pattern that the son maybe just picked up. Sometimes things are picked up by osmosis. They're not necessarily taught, but it's amazing what kids see the parents do. And sometimes you've heard that saying that the parent will say to the kid, "Don't do as I do, do as I say." Oh, no, they will do as you do. You're the model. You're the example, and they'll do that. But notice here what David had done to Uriah unawares. Joab put him in the front line, and then when the thick of the battle, pull back, so he dies. So Uriah's unaware of David's plot to have him killed. And Absalom did to Amnon the same thing. Amnon was unawares. It was secret scheming, just as his father had done. Verse 30, now it was while they were on the way that the report came to David saying, Absalom has struck down all the king's sons and not one of them is left. It's interesting how rumors get around, doesn't it? It's amazing. Rumors, no, not all the sons were dead. Then the king arose and tore his clothes and lay on the ground, and all the servants were standing by with clothes torn. And Jonadab, now remember, this is the same guy that counseled what Amnon was to do to get his sister into bed. And Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, responded, do not let my lord suppose that they have put to death all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon alone is dead, because by intent of Absalom, this has been determined since the day that he violated his sister Tamar. Now, therefore, do not let my lord, the king, take the report to heart, namely, all the king's sons are dead, for only Amnon is dead. This guy's a weasel. He's a weasel. I didn't like him from the beginning. I don't know about you. I try to put myself in this situation. What a weasel. First, he counsels evil, you know, to his cousin. And then he comes to his uncle, and then he pretends to be a comforter. Oh, not all of them are dead. Just Amnon, because, you know, when he raped Tamar, you know, Absalom's sister. You know, he wants to be the hero. Wants to be the hero. And now Absalom had fled, and the young man who was the watchman raised his eyes and looked, and behold, many people were coming from the road behind him by the side of the mountain. And Jonadab said to the king, behold, the king's sons have come according to your servant's word. So it happened. Didn't I tell you, king, according to my word? You know, oh boy, is he really full of himself. And it came about as soon as he had finished speaking that, behold, the king's sons came and lifted their voices and wept. And also the king and all his servants wept very bitterly. Now Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, the king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. Now, basically, Absalom fled to his grandfather. His grandfather lived in Geshur. And when David was on the run, David at this point got involved with a pagan Bedouin woman, the daughter here of Talmai, and married her. Maakah is her name, and that was Absalom's mother, and so he flees there. So he pretty safe harbor there with his grandfather and some of the relatives. So he fled and had gone to Geshur and was there for 3 years. And the heart of King David longed to go out to Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon since he was dead. So when you shed innocent blood, Amnon was, well, he was guilty of rape, but here Absalom took it upon himself to kill him. And so if you kill an individual, you'd flee to what is called a city of refuge according to the law until a full accounting of, you know, that situation, whether it was premeditated murder or whether it was an accidental thing. But now he fled to a pagan land. And no one came after him, because in that case, the blood redeemer would go after, the first of kin would go after to bring that one to justice, to shed their blood, because they shed the blood of an innocent person. But nothing was done. David basically was the first of kin, but David didn't do anything. He didn't say anything. He didn't say, go after him and get him. Because I think, you know, as we go on, and I'll make the case, because I think it's true today with dads. It's true today with dads. I think David was a guilty father. He was a guilty father. He lived with guilt over not being a very good father. And we really see this when Absalom is put to death. And I'll make the case more there. But he was guilty because, in essence, what did he do? He forced Absalom. He forced Absalom's hand to do something about the rape of David's daughter Tamar, Absalom's sister Tamar. He forced him to do something because David didn't even lift a finger. He got angry, but that was it. And so Absalom took matters into his own hands, and he went after Amnon, put him to death. Well, notice in chapter 14. Now, this is pretty much an interesting story. It's a long story, and I'm gonna read this out of the New Living Translation because it seems to read better. You kind of lose track of, you know, what's going on here. But I'll tell you, when I'm in verse 4 to 17, I'll read out of the New Living Translation. It reads pretty nicely. And it says, Now remember, Absalom's gone for 3 years. David, again, I'm going to call him a guilty dad because I think he was. He was hurting over, you know, Absalom being at a distance, not being able to be around Absalom. And so Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was inclined toward Absalom. So Joab sent to Tekoa and brought a wise woman from there and said to her, "Please pretend to be a mourner and put on mourning garments now." That those are, you know, clothes that you're crying or mourning over a loved one. "And do not anoint yourself with oil, but be like the woman who has been mourning for the dead many days. Then go to the king and speak to him in this manner." So Joab put the words in her mouth. So David is weeping over the fact that his son is gone. So he has a woman come. He's going to have her pretend a story to really just draw out of David what David really wants to do, what David should do. But David is so prideful at this point. It seems like he doesn't have the ability to express love or show love.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of 2 Samuel, chapters 13 and 14. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in 2 Samuel chapters 15 and 16. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.